The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Made it all the way to the weekend. We'll get you all the way to the fish fry or the bar. I know Dom's probably heading to a bar, mostly. A happier happy hour. Welcome to it, Dom.
Hey, Crudy. Thank you. Good to be with you as always. Rich and Nate working the board. Of course, our audience, thank you for hanging out with us on a Friday. I got a dinner plans. I'm going to go see Vegas Joe's a Becky. Go grab some dinner tonight. It's going to be a good time.
And Mrs. Yeah. Vegas Joe, perhaps.
Yes, that's Stephanie as well.
Send my regards.
I will certainly do so.
Vegas Apekis. Dom, we air the grievance on Fridays. If the people don't know how to play, you just got to dial 844-967-2789. It was mentioned to me recently. A new wannabe caller. We say the number too fast sometimes. You know, you should get this tattooed on your arm. 844-96-PARTY. Because it's a party up in here, Dom, on Fridays, yeah, especially.
Party, man, that's what we do.
But you know who might be a little bitter, a little butthurt today? The Foxy News that? Viewers that are still hopeful that Joe Biden's going to get impeached. They're starting to break the truth to him, Dom, and it's going to wreck some weekends, I got to tell you.
Well, between that and Pornhub getting canceled in Texas, you know, some Republicans are going to have a hell of a time coping over the weekend.
Foxy News' Shannon Bream brings viewers bad news on the Biden impeachment. Bad news. Bad. Fox News Sunday host Shannon Bream on Friday, that's today, Dom, brought many of her network's viewers potentially unwelcome news on the House Republicans' impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden. You know, because they're cheering for it, and it's not working out so well. Here is the exchange. While speaking with Foxy Business, right, Stuart Varney, Bream was asked about the GOP impeachment inquiry, which has all but run aground in recent weeks after the arrest of former FBI informant Alexander, named like a vodka bottle, Smirnoff, who was charged with fabricating bribery allegations against the Bidens. I mean, literally, when your lead witness is charged with the crime of fabricating the alleged crime, it's going to undermine your case. But when Varney asks Bream, is the Biden impeachment now unlikely? He's kind of British. I don't do a British. I think it's increasingly unlikely, she replied, especially with another GOP House member, who, by the way, was a vote against this, Ken Buck, saying that he's out even sooner than expected. I think Republicans are trying to be realistic with the margins that they have, and the speaker seems to be signaling, maybe we're not going to push this to the floor for a vote. I thought it wasn't an impeachment without a vote, Tom. Now, Bream noted that Republicans still plan to hold a public hearing with Hunter Biden next week after having previously held a hearing behind closed doors. However, she seemed skeptical that this effort would bear any fruit either. They say the investigation continues, she said, but I think the impeachment vote getting to the floor, question mark, a little bit less likely today. Now, White House counsel Edward Siskel on Friday sent a letter to House Speaker MAGA Mike Johnson that essentially spiked the football on the GOP's impeachment inquiry, and he encouraged the speaker to formally drop the impeachment probe. they won't do that, Dom. They're going to continue to besmirch, even if there's nothing left to investigate, and concentrate on solving problems that matter to the American voter. There's too much important work to be done for American people to continue wasting time on this charade, Siskel argued. It is obviously time to move on, Mr. MAGA Speaker Mike. This impeachment is over. What do you like to say about it, Dom? Put a cigarette out on his ass. It's over.
It's over.
844.
There's more.
Go ahead.
967-2789. That's 844.
That's the entirety of the phone number.
Yes, yes. Also, CBS, on this very topic, the headline here, ex-FBI informant accused of lying about Biden's was a fraudster in a prior case. You don't say. Federal prosecutors are put on notice as far back as 2016 that Alexander Smirnoff, the confidential FBI informant, whose alleged lies about President Biden's business dealings fueled and then damaged a Republican impeachment effort, was known as a liar and a fraudster. He was indicted last month for allegedly fabricating a story about Biden and his son Hunter, each accepting $5 million in bribes from a Ukrainian energy company. It was a shocking turn of events, CBS News writes, especially given that Smirnoff's explosive allegations had been a key piece of the GOP's impeachment quest against Mr. Biden, and that Republican lawmakers had touted him as a highly credible witness. A CBS News investigation reveals that serious doubts about Smirnoff's credibility were raised almost a decade ago and are now prompting questions about why he remained on the FBI payroll as long as he did. CBS News has identified an earlier criminal case in which Smirnoff provided information to the FBI that led to a prosecution. And in that earlier case, Smirnoff was also accused of lying, just as he was about the corruption allegations against the Bidens. Having seen how much he lies, it's kind of surprising that he has been able to do it for as long as he has without anyone in the government stopping him. The defense lawyer said in the case, they never should have used him again. It's shocking. It's shocking, Crudy. Michael Bromwich, who's a former Justice Department Inspector General, said this. I think a review has to be done, either internally or by the FBI, or more advisedly by the Department of Justice to find out not only what happened here, but whether there is a systemic problem in the supervision of informants. And perhaps because the guy was such a liar, Crudy, he was a perfect man for the job. Hey, we got a guy that'll say anything. Oh, let's put him up because we're going to go after President Biden because our guy got impeached twice. And if we're going to throw impeachments around, let's keep track. We'll go after Joe. 2016, apparently, according to CBS News, they knew this guy was a liar and a fraud.
Laporta told us in 2019 the guy was a liar and a fraud, Dom. The entire underlying premise, the Burisma, he said this is Russian disinformation. And he would know because he was part of it.
Him and Giuliani, right?
844-967-2789. Friday grievances. Aram here. Wisco Paul, what do you got for us?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, good afternoon. Go Badgers, first of all.
They got Purdue tomorrow at noon, Paulie. Noon tip. Yeah.
I'll be tuning in, but
you can't be the champs unless you beat the best team. And Purdue, probably the best team in the Big Ten this year.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that. And what I want to say here is, naming some, because Trump is running the GOP. That's why they do what they do. He's behind the scenes, if you will. But name somebody that's not connected to Trump that isn't a liar and a fraud. I mean, if you're going to be with Trump, you're going to become a liar and a fraud. I can use an example quickly. The senator from Alabama seemed like a nice person until she got connected with Trump, and then she.
Oh, you're talking about the Katie Britt, not the Tupperville, because I'm thinking he always seemed like a loon bat to me. But please continue, Paul.
Yeah, I'm talking about the lady senator down there, and I just want to get some laughs at the end of the day. I look for Aaron Rodgers to get a spot in the Trump administration. He won't have to run with JFK. Not that he would get elected to anything, but what in the hell has happened to Aaron Rodgers, which is my grievance of the day, to end it up? He was like maybe not a hero, but he was, I thought he was a pretty cool dude, you know, all the ladies he was dating and everything. But it wouldn't surprise me if he ends up in a Trump administration. Hopefully there won't be one. So,
Wisco Paul, appreciate your call. Bless you to Mrs. Wisco. And Aaron Rodgers may have always been this cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. We just didn't know it because he would lead us through the playoffs. But I knew there was something always just a little off with this guy because we'd get to the NFC Championship game and we'd always come up short. We'd always come up short. Man. What's that?
It's a tough game. You know, everyone wants to win the game. And there's all sorts of reasons for that. I don't know, man. I wonder, you know, we kind of put our sports figures up on pedestals and our whatever your celebrity, whatever your.
Did I tell you I played high school football, Dom?
Did you ever score a touchdown, Michael?
I did not.
Okay. All right. But to, you know, they're professional athletes. I mean, obviously they're at peak shape. They're great at what they do. It doesn't necessarily translate into, you know, other things. It just because you're rich, PUBG, doesn't mean that, you know, you're smart, Trump. You know, these things are, you know, we conflate these things in our mind. So while I'm certainly disappointed in Aaron Rodgers, man, I mean, certainly, come on, you have the opportunity to do so much more. And thankfully, he didn't, you know, go the Favre route that we're aware of anyway, and, you know, try to hustle out some money out of Mississippi for your daughter's soccer field.
Well, it's because he doesn't have a daughter that we know of. If I was State Farm, I'd be looking for that red sweater back, if you know what I'm saying. I'd be finding me a new Jake. And they did. It was what? Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid this year were the mostly featured.
They moved on real fast. He's still playing ball, though, right? I mean, he's still playing for the Jets this year.
He's got to make it through OTAs. You weren't here when Mike Clemens told us about the year that Rodgers skipped all the OTAs, the mini camps. And then he was bad mouthing the new receivers, like, oh, this guy's bad. And Clement said, he asked me, he's like, well, have you ever thought about participating and maybe coaching him up a little bit from the quarterback position? And he said that Aaron Rodgers got a little, Mike, give him the old sort of Rod Johnson answer. He said, but if you'll take note, Aaron Rodgers participating in all the OTAs with the Jets and any vice presidential debate he's invited to. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates Friday. We air the grievances. Yours could be next. Badgers caught Purdue tomorrow at noon. You can listen on the Civic Media Network. Stream it, WRJN.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always be a part. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I'm playing this song for Trump administration official Peter Navarro. He got the go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. And his crime, contempt of Congress. Now, how Steve Bannon, you know, finds himself on some billionaire Chinese guy's yacht still free on the very same charges of which he has been convicted, and why Trump Jim judge. Jordan was not charged at all with the very same crime that Navarro is supposed to go to prison this week for. Prison. No time off for good behavior. I believe Jeff, who often talks trash on the text line, I believe Jeff said as a criminal defense attorney, he will ask for a year and a day if he's in the federal courts. Because if you only get a year, you're not eligible for parole in the federal system. Crimes under a year long. So that's a good insight. If I'm ever charged and convicted in the federal courts, you know, I'll remember a year and a day. But Dom, Wisco Paul asked for a little funny. Navarro filed an emergency appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court ahead of the deadline to report for prison. Do you think he'll find a sympathetic Clarence Thomas waiting for his call, Dom?
There might be one, but there won't be a majority.
You only need four? I'm not sure how many would have to let him off the hook here. Former Trump economic advisor Peter Navarro filed an emergency appeal with the Supreme Court today, a last-ditch Hail Mary effort to avoid reporting for his prison term as he appeals his conviction for contempt of Congress. Navarro has been ordered to report to a Miami prison Tuesday, Big Tuesday, to serve a four-month sentence, well, no time off for good behavior there, Dom, connection with refusing to comply with a congressional subpoena, you know, the whole January 6th committee and all that, Dom. So he's supposed to go to prison. He's thrown this Hail Mary in a Friday appeal to the high court. Navarro's attorneys argue he should be allowed to remain free while he pursues his appeal as he poses no public safety or flight risk. They also claim he stands to raise important issues before the court. Oh, very important.
Of course. Yeah.
For the first time in our nation's history, a senior presidential advisor has been convicted of contempt of Congress after asserting executive privilege over a congressional subpoena. But he never proved that Trump actually asked him to pipe down and shut up. That wasn't actually a point of defense, as I understood it, Dom.
It doesn't have to be factual. You just claim it, like, you know, absolute immunity. Hey, that sounds good. I have absolute immunity. I got presidential privilege.
Dr. Navarro. Is that like Dr. Feelgood? Dr. Navarro has appealed and will raise a number of issues on appeal that he contends are likely to result in the reversal of his conviction, or maybe we're just throwing you-know-what against the wall, or a new trial. Chief among them are whether an affirmative invocation of executive privilege was required to preclude a prosecution for contempt of Congress. Meaning, do you have to actually show up and acknowledge the subpoena, maybe claim the fifth or make your claim? But if you completely ignore the subpoena, don't turn over any of the documents, because everything is not under executive privilege. Even if such a thing existed and could be transferred to you as a senior executive of the Trump administration, if he could say, you may not speak to anybody about anything of a classified patient on that. Well, I mean, what? He could never speak to any human ever again? That's still got to be narrowed in scope to things that are classified, or he was specifically directed not. Well, I got to think Peter Navarro was an administration official. I don't think Trump came down and went through file by file and said, don't talk about that. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about that. I don't think he did. I think Navarro's got a very thin gruel appeal here, Don, but I believe it would only take one to force a vote of the Supreme Court. I'm wondering if Clarence Thomas can give him a stay at least from Tuesday to the end of the week.
I don't know. They're pretty busy. Apparently the pillow guys, you know, he's given all the evidence now. He's going to break the case loose, and they'd have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling pillow heads.
844-967-2789. I'm going to tell you a story about the super secret paper the guy's buying in Arizona for the next election. Give me a minute, but let's go to the phones. Your grievances could be right here. It did cost the taxpayers a lot of money. It seems like something we'd do here, like led by Janelle Branchon or some cyber ninjas. 844-967-2789. Jeannie from Eau Claire. Welcome back, Jeannie. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jeannie.
Hi, guys. Great show as usual. Well, I just want to remind people who are listening, you know, tomorrow's morning cannolis was James Santalin. It's a great education in the law and the courts. And I haven't missed one of his 2-hour sessions since he started. So you guys have did great bringing a lot of really good people in, you know, to your network.
Now, are you listening for credit, Jeannie? Stuff. You can get your law school degree after just 3 years of listening to the morning cannoli.
If all the judges are like the Supreme Court justices, no way, Jose, man, I'd be a wreck. I'd be driving off a bridge into the water dealing with Judge Thomas. And oh, man, it's mind-boggling, guys. But you keep everything great and keeping us informed, and I am so grateful for you. So keep up the great work. I just wanted to say thank you and keep it up, okay?
Well, thank you, Jeannie. Very nice and kind words. Have a nice weekend. You know, we're like lawyers without the grit. We're here to just give strong legal opinions not founded in precedent or case law. Kind of like the Trump appointees to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Man, we missed our calling, Mike.
844.
I think the LSAT a third time.
967-2789. At least you went to grad school. I mean, I'm still half credit deficient. If they had not mailed me my diploma, I might still be looking to finish up my degree.
When's the last time anyone asked you what your major was or what your grade point average was? I think those questions kind of go away real quick.
I don't know if I told you this, but I was actually trying to make a phone call in the house. My wife had something going on, virtual call, something, you know, that's what happens. You conflict when both parents are trying to work from home. Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm like going downstairs and I'm looking for a quiet room somewhere I can close the door. So I go in my kid's room and I close the door and I'm talking to someone. And I stopped in the middle of the conversation because I was stunned to see a 1996 Mike Crute Salesman of the Year trophy in my son's room. I mean, that's the most important thing that he knows. Yeah. I could have been a contender, Dom.
1996, what were you selling? What was that? Was that cars?
It was.
Mortgages? What was your thing, though?
No, I won Salesman of the Year in multiple industries. I was good.
You were, man. I bought whatever you were selling, Crudy, I bought.
You know who was best salesman? You. Because I bought what you were selling in college, and it was of an inferior grade. Stem seeds.
Yeah, well, supply. You know, you
get light on weight. Smelled like my dog's butt.
Oh, it was terrible. I mean, we're so spoiled these days, man.
Come on back with us. You know, the great thing is we all stayed out of prison. I don't know if Peter Navarro could say the same. This might be his last free weekend. Enjoy some good bunk time. You're going to lose your mattress on Tuesday, Peter Navarro. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. We're going to have some fun. It ain't the weekend for us yet. We need your help. Air the grievances, political or otherwise. 844-96-PARTY. I'm going to find myself in. Tonight is going to be trouble.
What have we done with innocence?
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Happy hour rolling through it, Dom. And I have a divisive topic. We're going to stir the pot one more time for this week. Kathleen Parker, a new column that just published. For the country's sake, Vice President Harris should step aside. That's what she's saying. This is being published at the Washington Post. Kathleen Parker, a columnist. This, obviously, an opinion piece. Let me throw a little of her argument at you, Dom, and see how it strikes you. The Democratic Party's indulgence of identity politics has proved successful in building a diverse organization, but its strategy of courting and pandering to minority voters is the road to ruin. In 2020, Joe Biden's promise to tap a woman as his vice president, along with Rep. James Clyburn's election-altering endorsement in South Carolina, paved Biden's way to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. His history-making selection of telegenic Kamala Harris might prove to be his downfall in 2024. Not Crudy saying this. This is Kathleen Parker. I'm just bringing it to the debate floor, Dom. And he has had enough fall downs to make voters worry. Harris's resume was impressive. A former California attorney general and sitting U.S. senator. She seemed to have been created by central casting. Or was it artificial intelligence? As the first black woman and the first woman of Asian descent to be nominated for vice president, she was a doubleheader, Dom. But her evolving beliefs undercut that appeal. As a presidential candidate in 2020, she followed the Democratic playbook on issues, except when she raised her hand in support of eliminating private health insurance. She also managed to imply that Biden was racist and segregationist, citing his long-ago stance against student busing. In her famous debate rebuke of Biden, she said she'd been one of those little black girls on one of those buses, and her touche was short-lived. Harris ended her campaign in December 2019, citing a lack of financial resources. Next thing we knew, Dom, she was moving into the Naval Observatory. She was a colossal failure as the border czar, a position she held briefly, and otherwise seemed to have gone undercover. Whatever the reasons, it seems that Harris's role was to be quiet lest she embarrass her boss and her sometimes inane rambling remarks and a laugh that erupts from nowhere about nothing obvious to others. I do, however, writes Kathleen, writes the author here, I do, however, relish the thought of her face-to-face with Vladimir Putin and suddenly cackling at a linchpin moment during nuclear arms discussions. So, she goes on like this, Tom. Do you want to continue this thought?
Yes. Let's get it all out there so we're not, you know, just picking little pieces apart. Again, from the Washington Post. The Kamala conundrum comes down to this. She was picked because she was black and female, a combo tantamount to job security. Now that she's become a burden to the Democratic ticket, Biden can't fire her. He can't risk alienating his base, full stop. The seriousness of this situation can't be overstated. I think it can be, but I digress. Biden's diminishing faculties, notwithstanding his relatively successful State of the Union address and his increasing physical frailty, are concerning. Every honest person knows he's not in top form. A recent New York Times poll found that 73% of registered voters believe Biden too old to be the nation's top executive. That includes 61% of those who voted for him in 2020. At the start of Biden's term, I was pulling for Harris to do well. She had pizzazz and a reputation for being a tough prosecutor. She had moxie and swagger, and she leaned centrist. There was reason for hope. Criticism from California progressives that she wasn't adequately attuned to racial justice issues and sided too often with prosecutors likely proved helpful when she was vetted for the VP spot. Her performance as second in command has been disappointing, to say the least. Americans have taken note, though Democrats unsurprisingly like her more than Republicans do. A recent analysis by 538 set her average overall approval rating at just 37.2%, among the lowest recorded for a vice president. There's no reason to think her ranking would spike or she suddenly promoted to the Oval Office. Instead, most signs point to disaster. This is why I propose, with all due respect, that Harris step away from the ticket. This is not a partisan suggestion. I said the same about Sarah Palin in 2008. When it became clear, as I wrote, that she was out of her league. No one would have blamed Palin for wanting to spend more time with her family, including a new baby, I said. I ended the column with these words, do it for your country. Harris could provide her own reasons for moving on. Perhaps she and Biden could cut a deal for her to become the next attorney general if he's reelected. Biden could then tap someone else with the executive experience that could reassure voters that the next vice president would be ready to take the reins should events require it. Democrats and Republicans alike would be relieved. Please, Madam Vice President, do it for your country, says Kathleen Parker from the Washington Post.
First time I've heard this expressed out loud in a major publication like the Washington Post. What say you, Dominic? You take the offensive position for a change.
I mean, come on. You got to be kidding me. You can't say the person's unqualified and, oh, for whatever reasons. Well, we know the reasons why she was kept under wraps. It's the president. He gets to set the terms and the rules and what the vice president's going to go do, lest she be concerned that he embarrass him or that she, upstages him. So no, man, I don't buy it whatsoever. Not a little bit. I mean, I think she'd do a fine job.
What about the polling numbers? The Nate Silver, the 538 polling numbers, 37.2% favorability.
Yeah,
she's not exactly shining the ticket for Biden.
Yeah, no doubt. I got it. And Congress has about a 13 or 14% approval rating. I don't know. What about polling? The question is, can she do the job if President Biden has some sort of issue? And my impression of her very, as Catherine, or what's the author's name here? She says that the
Kathleen Parker.
Kathleen Parker. She's very qualified. She's a tough prosecutor. I mean, she has good experience. And she's been in the VP spot for 4 years. I mean, it's got to count for something. I mean, don't tell Mike Pence, but it's got to count for something.
Well, that was Joe Biden's qualification. That and some time in the Senate.
Right. So no, I don't buy this. I don't agree with it. I think she gives herself some qualifications on there. Well, oh, for whatever reason. Well, yeah, it's easy to say for whatever reason she's been in the background. She's the vice president. It's the president. You know, it's the president makes the calls. So,
here's my question. Do you believe that Kamala Harris is a detriment to the Biden ticket? Do you think he would be better off, setting aside whether or not he should, let's just say she found out her husband had cancer and wanted to spend more time with Doug Imhoff, I believe his name. You know, the dog died, whatever. You know, something happened that made her reconsider her very strenuous job as the vice president. If she stepped aside and, let's say, Gretchen Whitmer or Gavin Newsom or some governor, although I don't think Tony Evers comes to mind, but, you know, some governor, some Democratic governor, do you think that would strengthen the Biden ticket? Biden Whitmer, is that a stronger ticket in 2024?
No. Than
Biden?
No. Harris? What is Biden Whitmer going to get you that Biden Harris doesn't get you?
Michigan.
Based on what?
The fact that she's the governor of the state of Michigan. I think that Whitmer would carry Michigan.
You don't think
that's Whitmer's how VPs are picked in most cases, dude?
You don't think Whitmer's going to do everything she can to support her Democratic president right now? You don't think she's trying to get everyone in line in Michigan to support the Democratic nominee, the president?
By half a million votes. Biden is trailing in Michigan. So what? So maybe she helps him carry Michigan. If he doesn't win Michigan, he probably loses the presidency.
I gave you the answer. No, I don't think replacing Kamala Harris with anybody else advances the Biden ticket. No. Now you go.
844-967-2789.
Let me hear it from you, brother.
Well, let's hear from the audience first. Catherine from Madison, welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Hi, Catherine.
Hello?
Yes,
hello,
you're Catherine. Up.
Yeah, you're up.
What do you got?
Oh, hi, guys. I was just calling to thank you guys again for the station and your show and all. But also, I've got something, a grievance that's been bugging me for some time.
Later.
That they're always, the media and so forth, and especially the right wing, are always claiming that Biden isn't physically fit. You know, like, yeah, he's an old guy, but let's compare the physical fitness of Donald Trump. I mean, really? And what I would love to see, I mean, this is like in my dreams, would be just a sort of physical fitness check, like on, you know, on camera, where they'd have them each ride a half mile bike trail, do a couple jumping jacks, touch their toes, and then do a height and weight.
Well, you'd lose Trump on the toe touches.
Simple thing, like, well, you know, just something like that.
I want to weigh in, Catherine. You know, like the UFC fighters or the boxers. They put their briefs on. They go away on the scale. They do the flex for the camera, and they do the posing for the fight posters. That's what I'd like to see, Catherine.
Exactly. A face-off, like one-to-one, because both of them are old guys. They're too old, really. But which one is still fit and which one is not? Let's look here, you know. It's just bugging.
But here's the other thing. I mean, I would take the sloppiest, fattest, laziest POS who wasn't a fascist versus the best in shape could run up.
You didn't 10 vote miles, for Chris, you know, Christie.
Busted a sweat, you know, because it's not about the physical fitness per se. Certainly, it's about the mental acuity, and people get old. I make fun of our friend Bill Press, who comes on the show every couple of weeks. Man, Bill's older than Biden, and if it was between Bill Press and Donald Trump, I'd say Bill Press all day long, man. So I think those things are kind of to the side. When you look at the gravity of what we're dealing with as American citizens and as those who want to engage in effective self-governance, I'd take Joe Biden every day, twice on Sunday, Catherine. But let me ask you, what about this article from the Washington Post that I vehemently disagree with? And Crudy has yet to state his opinion. But Catherine, do you think that Vice President Kamala Harris is a detriment, is a drag on the Biden ticket?
No. If they would follow her properly, she's an excellent candidate, and I have no qualms with her being president. And I think if they got enough, it's the problem. I'm really happy now that Biden had such a good speech for the State of the Union, because it's going to be pretty hard for the media to claim that he's a doddering, nice, you know, gentlemanly old man that really can't, you know, handle this, because he came out really powerful. And that's dead for, you know, them to try to claim now. But and I don't think they've really covered Kamala properly. And if they did, you know, I think she'd be an excellent president.
Catherine, thank you for your opinion. 844-967-2789. Kamala Harris was at a Planned Parenthood clinic in Minnesota yesterday. And we in the state of Wisconsin are currently, although it depends on which judge you believe, and I believe there's been an ask of the Wisconsin Supreme Court to come up with some ruling about the legality of abortion. It had been presumed that we were under an 1849 abortion ban, and Planned Parenthood stopped providing services. And we know potentially a fine candidate in waiting in her own regard, Dr. Kristen Lierley, an OBGYN from Wisconsin. Well, she's now working across the river in Hastings, Minnesota. And I do think that Kamala was able to draw attention to an issue that, you know, Gavin Newsom wouldn't have gone to a Planned Parenthood clinic yesterday. You know, and this is an issue. The overturning of Dobbs is a major issue. Yeah,
first so, female vice president in the history of the country? Yes.
She would have to leave of her own volition. Certainly Joe removing her, firing her, would be detrimental to Joe. If something happened in her family or family life, whatever the case may be, personally, privately, whatever the case may be, if Harris wanted off the ticket, I think you could strategically point towards Gretchen Whitmer and say, Michigan's important enough. I want Gretchen Whitmer on the ticket. Gavin Newsom, who I like a lot, California, we got California. I'm not worried about California, but strategically, if you can put Michigan in Joe Biden's column, that might be worthwhile in and of itself. I'm just telling you, to my strategic opinion. But she would have to make that choice. And I'm not advocating for it. I actually think she has a great role to play for reproductive rights. And oh yeah, she's as intense as hell if you've ever met her. And I have.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Radio show, our last segment of the day, because they hit us up right now, 844-967-2789.
I did see the vice president very recently, about a week and a half ago. She was in Madison. She actually spent some time growing up in Madison. If you haven't read the article from our friend John Nichols at the Cap Times, really interesting stuff. It's worth a read. I would encourage you to find it. It's on the digital page still. Kamala Harris is very intense as a human being. I told you, I got to interview her first time about 6 years ago. She was in the state of Wisconsin, I believe, campaigning on behalf of Tony Evers. And it's crazy to say this, but Senator Baldwin, Tammy Baldwin, was on the ballot, I can't believe, 6 years ago.
All right.
This is our third Tammy Baldwin senatorial race we've gone through on the radio together, Dom. But got to interview Kamala, not extensively, but I was part of a press gaggle, and I got a couple of questions. And you'd have felt like interviewing Kamala Harris, you are the only human being in the world in that moment. And you got her full attention. And she wanted to know who I was. Everyone, not just Crudy. I wasn't being singled out. Who are you? Where are you from? And you better have a good answer. I found her to be very interpersonally intense. And even the position between us, she wasn't 4 feet away, 6 feet away. She was, it felt like 18 inches away. Like she was right there. And I was just holding up a cell phone. I was trying to talk around it, you know, show my dimples. That's my secret weapon, Dom. At the time, I remember the line of questioning was about the Kavanaugh hearings before the U.S. Supreme Court, the confirmation hearings of Kavanaugh. If you'll recall, she was opposed to Kavanaugh, but he made it by what, one vote? If it had come down to the vice president, I feel quite confident she would have voted against his confirmation. I think they made it by one or two. Susan Collins, I think, the magic number. But what I would say, whether it was her campaign appearance the other day in Madison or the time I saw her 6 years ago or the time I saw her 2 months ago, on the stump, she's great. interpersonally, she's great. So when she's on a teleprompter, she's got a great damn speech. And it seems to me like she can go to the teleprompter or she can leave it. You know what I mean? She can ad-lib during the course of her speech. Those are the best speeches, reacting to what someone hoots out from the crowd or whatever.
Right, right.
You know, I've always found her to be rhetorically very strong in those moments. And I've always wondered, and I've said this before on this radio show, Dom, I feel like, be it Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, it's time to bring them out of the basement in Delaware. I mean, this is your team, right? Despite the protestations of Kathleen Parker at the Washington Post, Joe ain't going to remove her. And one step away from the presidency, I don't think she's going to step aside for the sake of the country, Kathleen, despite the 37.2% approval ratings, according to 538. So I think that is our ticket. But I think she is far more talented as a campaigner, as a politician, than they've utilized her. I think yesterday's appearance at a Planned Parenthood, I think strategically that was tremendous, because this has got to be a front and center issue in this elective campaign. Donald Trump out there bragging, I put the justices on the court that gave us the Dobbs decision, overruled Roe v. Wade. And there's the female vice president, the first one in our nation's history, appearing at a Planned Parenthood, reminding the voters which side she's on. So no.
So you're,
we're going to keep her.
You're not, okay, we're going
to
keep her.
I'm going to use the Scott Walker assessment. Cheaper to keep her. Cheaper to keep her.
Also in the article, Kathleen Parker, she does the comparison between Sarah Palin and Kamala Harris, which I think is these are not the same kind of people. I mean, not even freaking close. I mean, Kamala Harris was the DA of San Francisco. She was the attorney general for the state of California.
And a U.S. senator.
40 million people, then a U.S. senator. I mean,
Palin served in the meth capital of Alaska and Wasilla. And then she went on to a half a term as the governor of the state. I mean, that's got to count for something.
It doesn't. It does not. And for
do you mind if I Parker, call you Joe?
Throw out there I said the same thing to Sarah Palin. Yeah. You know, these are different circumstances. Number one. Number two, Barack Obama was a state senator, then a senator, and he went to the presidency. So you don't need that specific executive, quote unquote, experience, a governorship, for example, that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. And also for Kathleen Parker, quote, for whatever the reasons, it seemed like Harris's role was to be quiet. Well, again, whatever the reasons, if the boss tells you to be quiet, then you be quiet. That's the reason.
You never take that direction. Be quiet, Salvia. 844.
Who's my boss?
967. 2789. Carol from Madison. You're his boss. Tell him to shut up and let you talk. Welcome, Carol. What do you got for us?
Hi, Carol.
You know, I'm getting really tired of all this Joe's too old stuff. You know, as I'm aging a little bit, when am I going to cash it in? You know, when am I going to stop thinking, stop driving, stop planning vacations, stop doing whatever the hell I want to do?
Yeah.
And physically, I mean, I don't smoke. I drink some. But, you know, you take care of yourself and you keep going. And this crap about how Joe is so old when he works out more than I do. And I mean, so he's got a stutter. We all have something. But, you know, he chose Kamala Harris. And I agree, it's the state of California, and it's a whole hell of a lot bigger and a lot more people who had faith in her than some no-name governor from Alaska. I just think it's ridiculous, and I don't think Kamala should quit, and I don't think that, she belongs back in the kitchen like the Republicans like their women.
Carol, you're talking lots of sense. What do you think about Badgers against Purdue tomorrow at noon? Who do you like in that game?
I think they got a lot of opportunity there because it's a neutral site, and it's real hard to beat the same team three times.
I love you, Carol.
All of it.
70%.
I'm taking the points, and I might go money line with that sort of recommendation. Carol, thank you so much for listening. I understand how stressful it can be. Dom is a constant irritant.
You're welcome, Crudy.
Thank you to Mike Clemens, a fine guest, way back in the 3 o'clock hour. If you didn't know, we do a 3 o'clock hour. You could tune in on WMDX 92.7 FM. Badgers, they're going to play out tomorrow at noon, pregame at 11 on the Civic Media Network. That's WFHR, WRJN, WRCE, and WLAK. I can still do it, Dom.
And well done, Curdy.
Coming up next, Busted Pencils. Educated educators talking education across the Civic Media Network. Have a great weekend. Dom's going to a bar.
Thank you, Nate and Rich. Thank you, audience. We'll be back on Monday.